Good morning, Jill.
Morning.
Hi there. I feel like we can get started. If we want to do roll call, I can't see everybody, but that's fine. Jeffrey, are you on? You are. Can we do roll call?
Yep.
Starting Let's call the meeting to order. Very Look cool. at us.
All right. So, Zachary Baker.
Here.
Jill Brammer.
Here.
Dale Calvert.
Here.
Glenn Grabsky.
Here.
Graham Hughes.
Here.
Richard Myers. Pretty sure I saw
Here.
We go. Valeria Moraga. Janine Mortimer.
I'm here.
Kathy Rivers.
Here.
Jim Sayer.
Here.
Jeffrey Stewart is here. Zach Yenser.
Here.
Maureen Blakemore. We have a quorum.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Do we have anyone in the audience today?
Sorry, real quick. Did I forget Alexis Freiland? Thank you.
Okie doke. So no one in the audience. Wonderful. Rolling along. minutes from the October 2-2 meeting. Does anyone have any comments? Can we get a motion to pass?
I read the minutes and I make a motion to approve them.
Do we have a second?
Kathy Rivers, second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Great. On to chair's report. Nothing. And administrator report. Tom, take it away.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Just want to say hi. Thank you for joining us. And just going to go over a couple things for the administrator's report. Parking service agent staffing levels. We hired two parking service agent one positions earlier this month. They're in week number three now. So we're moving along with training. And we currently have positions open for two parking service agent ones. We just closed the recruitment process, received over 50 resumes. And we're currently narrowing that down. We're going to invite folks for interviews in early December. So we hope to hire two additional parking service agent one positions in early December and get them on board hopefully before Christmas and start that training. For on-street parking meter status report, currently 140 meters out of service. This is a big improvement. We've been in the 200s lately. Got to give a shout out to Joe Del Campo, our supervisor over on-street enforcement. He jumped in. We rearranged the schedule, and he's helping with getting those meters back in service. So big improvement there. And the only upcoming special event I wanted to mention is the 4th Avenue Street Fair, December 13th through 15th. Park Tucson's involvement includes hooding meters on the side streets leading to 4th Avenue. And for FAMA will conduct closing of on-street metered spots themselves. They do signage for that. We're continuing with our complimentary free of charge meter reservations for this event. We are going to meet with FAMA early next year to discuss the plans going forward for that. So I forgot to mention, Lauren Blakemore did reach out to me and said she couldn't make it today because she is busy preparing for the street fair. So they're in full swing getting ready for that. And some of the meters that we hood help facilitate transportation. For example, there's a shuttle that picks up right out here in Pennington Garage. We hood a couple meters out here. And like I mentioned, some various side streets leading into 4th and some ADA spots as well. So we'll get on that just a couple days before the street fair. And looking forward to a great event out there. And I'll take any questions.
No questions.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Are we ready to move on to the review of proposed extended meter enforcement hours?
All right. Thank you very much. Yes. So review of the proposed extended meter enforcement hours. I wanted to give a summary of the public outreach and the feedback received. Information was distributed to the commission late last week, revolving around the survey results. And I just wanted to remind everybody about the information posted on our website. Stand by, let me get that up for a second. So on our website, we have our proposed extension of meter enforcement hours information. And I'll go through it real quick. I know we've all heard this before. I'll try to make it fast. Currently, all parking meters are enforced Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Metered spaces are free after 5 on weekdays and all day on weekends. The proposed meter enforcement hours would be an extension to 8 p.m., including Saturdays. Metered parking spaces would continue to be free after 8 o'clock and all day on Sundays. No time limits would be in place after 5 p.m. Posted signs would designate paid parking between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. And we plan to begin this in early 2025. Why should parking meter enforcement hours be extended? It's to increase the availability of on-street parking for visitors in downtown Tucson, 4th Avenue, Main Gate Square, Mercado District, and the U of A. This can be accomplished by increasing parking turnover and creating efficient curb occupancy. As we know, on-street parking is a critical resource for supporting retailers and other businesses because it is usually the most convenient parking option for retail customers and employees. Once again, on-street parking focuses on the short-term needs. And longer-term parking, such as employee parking, is more geared toward off-street parking facilities, like surface lots and garages. Earlier this year, with the Park Tucson Commission, the commission reviewed several different scenarios to address the current occupancy. We did car counts in 2022. And 23 that showed 100% occupancy levels after 5 o'clock, going until approximately 8 p.m., depending on the day of the week and the area. So the result was that employees parking convenient spaces intended for customers with no time limits, there's relatively little turnover, and full or occupied on-street parking areas forced those looking for available free parking to drive around looking for it. The City of Tucson engaged with Kimley Horn to conduct a Tucson curb management study. And this framework plan that resulted from this study applies industry standards and defined metrics to allocating curb space and determining the trade-offs between the uses. And as the curb system in Tucson continues to evolve, this framework should be used to develop a curb environment that provides equitable access for all. The curb has to accommodate pedestrians, cyclists, transit riders, motorists. It's important to effectively manage the curb. A key metric of curb lane efficiency is parking turnover. Parking turnover or the occupancy range that we're looking for out of the study was 75 to 85%. As we know, it's right around 100% during the times we don't enforce. So our occupancy exceeds this range, and extending the enforcement hours would assist in achieving the desired occupancy range, thus providing opportunities for more users to share the curb. And comparing Tucson to other cities in the Southwest, Tucson is the largest city by population that does not do one of the following: charge for on-street parking in its downtown after 5 p.m. or charge on Saturdays. We've seen the curb management study. I'm not going to go back into that. It's available on the website. So we conducted outreach. The outreach started with a letter that was sent to businesses and residents in the area. The letter expressed the details of the proposal as well as the reasons why. And two virtual open house meetings were held, one on October 23rd and the other one on October 29th. Approximately 30 attendees total between both virtual open houses resulted. A lot of good discussion, a lot of questions, and a lot of feedback was received. Most of the feedback during the virtual open houses was negative feedback, expressing a lack of interest in pursuing the proposed meter extension hours. We have frequently asked questions on our website as well. So I want to get into the summary of the survey. So the survey summary, once again, we hosted virtual open houses on the 23rd and 29th. We posted information and the survey link, and here are some of the results. So there was approximately 3,000 responses. Most of the respondents identified themselves as visitors or customers, followed by residents, followed by employees at around 500. And then we did have business owners and managers respond, as well as some others. We provided a 1 through 5 rating on the survey, 1 being not in favor, 5 being in favor. The average rating returned was a 1.2. So most of the respondents stated 1, not in favor of the extension. And a very small handful of folks did respond that they were in favor. So a summary of the survey responses. There were several themes related to the survey responses. One was economic concerns and impact on local businesses. Business owners, employees, and customers frequently expressed fears that extending meter hours would harm local businesses. Many suggest that charging for parking during the extended hours or weekends will discourage visits, reduce foot traffic, and push customers to shop and dine in areas with free parking. Employee hardships was the other theme. Employees report that paying for parking during longer hours would create financial strain, particularly for those working in lower wage positions, often in the service and retail industries. They argue that the added cost would cut into their already tight budgets and may discourage them from working downtown. Some suggestions were made from the comments. Some commenters proposed creating affordable or subsidized parking options for employees, such as discounted garage rates or designated employee parking areas. So I just wanted to address these suggestions really quickly. Number one, Park Tucson does provide employee parking or monthly parking permits in all of our garages and surface lots. There seemed to potentially be some lack of knowledge about these options. And Park Tucson will work with businesses to educate everybody about the programs that we offer. There are on-street and off-street commuter permit programs. As far as discounted rates, unfortunately, Park Tucson cannot offer discounted rates. The rates are established by Mayor and Council. They're approved by Mayor and Council. And everyone's subject to the same rates, even city workers or any government workers as well. So cannot afford to or cannot subsidize parking for employees. But another option for business owners is to assist their employees with employee parking. We do work with several businesses who do pay for their employee parking, or at least pay a portion of it. Another theme was parking accessibility and convenience. Customer frustration was expressed. Visitors note that parking challenges, coupled with additional costs and time limits, will make downtown less convenient and enjoyable. Many customers prefer the flexibility of free parking after 5 and on weekends and feel that extending the hours undermines the accessibility of downtown Tucson. Limited availability. Both visitors and residents argued that simply extending the parking meter hours doesn't address the real issue, limited parking spots. Instead, they suggest that the city focus on building more parking spaces or improving access to existing options. So we feel that there is a misconception about limited parking spots in downtown. The curb management study and our own observations indicate that there is enough parking to meet the needs of the activity when taking our off-street parking into consideration. So that's all of our garages and surface lots. They do not fill up on the weekends or during the week. So, you know, there is this misconception, I believe, of limited parking spots. When you do drive around downtown on a Friday or Saturday night during the peak activity hours, all the spaces are occupied. And that's because there's no value placed on these spots, nor enforcement being conducted. The neighborhood impact. Extending metering may lead to overflow parking in nearby residential areas, causing inconvenience and safety concerns for local residents. Some residents worry this shift will degrade neighborhood quality. As the commission knows, Park Tucson offers the residential permit program in neighborhoods. This provides a way for residents who are in the program to purchase annual permits and protect the parking on their blocks. So we feel that there is an answer to that concern. Safety concerns was also brought up. Employee safety. Employees, particularly those working night shifts, highlight safety issues related to walking longer distances from parking to work in the evenings. They worry that extending meter hours will push them to park farther away or in less secure areas. So as you know, the goal of the enforcement, extending the enforcement hours would be to increase turnover. And we feel that additional parking would be made available on street due to the extended meter hours, thus allowing more opportunities for users to find on-street parking. Community perception. Customers and residents emphasize that free parking promotes a safer, more welcoming downtown atmosphere, especially in the evening. They argue that additional parking fees could deter visits, indirectly making the area feel less vibrant and secure. Alternative revenue suggestions were suggested. Once again, this is not about gathering additional revenue. This is about providing equity on the curb and sharing the curb and providing more opportunities for customers to find convenient short-term parking in front of the businesses that they want to enter. Investment in public transit. Some commenters recommend the city increase investment in public transit, making it more viable to driving. Improving transit services could reduce the dependence on personal vehicles and alleviate parking congestion. I definitely shared this comment with my staff here at DTM, and they're always looking at ways to increase transit. Right now, transit is fare free. And we do understand that transit might not run as late as some of the employees or late night customers may like. Community and cultural impact was mentioned. Discouraging downtown engagement was brought up. Both business owners and customers argued that downtown Tucson's unique charm and community-oriented vibe would be compromised by extending the metering system. Free parking after 5 is seen as a community benefit that supports local culture events and family outings. Environmental perspectives. A minority of commenters stated that paid parking is a way to encourage alternative environmentally friendly transportation, such as biking, public transit, and walking. They argue that reducing car dependency benefits the community and the environment in the long term. So those folks basically state, you know, put a value on parking. That way it would potentially increase other modes of transportation. There is a perception of city greed and prioritization. Distrust in intentions. Many commenters express a lack of trust in the city's motivations, often characterizing the proposal as a cash grab rather than a genuine attempt to solve parking issues. They feel that the revenue generated will not directly benefit downtown improvements, but will instead support other city priorities. One comment in response to that is that the motivation behind this is to solve our parking problems as far as occupancy after 5 o'clock, and that the revenue that Park Tucson collects from the on-street parking operation is put directly back into Park Tucson operating costs, facility repairs, security, other customer enhancements, improvements, and programs to make parking as convenient and safe as possible. Commenters demand transparency in how additional revenue would be allocated, with many specifically calling for funds to go to downtown infrastructure, such as road improvements and public amenities. Park Tucson's funds are not intended to go towards those type of goals. They're more intended for the parking operation. General suggestions for improvement were provided. Flexible parking options were brought up. Proposals include the maximum parking time allowed in metered areas, offering discounted passes for frequent visitors, and creating employee-specific parking permits. We will look into that. Those are good ideas. Once again, we vow to work with the businesses to educate them on all the employee parking options. I also have heard that there are potential private parking lot owners or future parking lot owners that could work with businesses and employees to increase parking options as well. So it's just not City of Tucson providing parking options, but there are private parking lot operators and the county that provide parking as well. And improving parking infrastructure, many commenters see the lack of available parking spaces as the core issue and propose building additional parking structures, converting vacant lots to parking, or designating zones for long-term or employee parking. Conclusions and recommendations. One recommendation was to conduct a feasibility study in order to assess the impact of alternative revenue sources such as modest increases in other city fees, or exploring private and public partnerships for parking infrastructure funding. Number two, provide employee parking solutions, offer discounted parking passes or zones for downtown employees, increase transparency and communication, and a pilot program. There was a suggestion to implement a trial period for extending hours, along with feedback mechanisms to gauge the actual impact. We will always be in touch with the business owners after rolling out extended meter hours. We don't plan to just deploy and look away. It's all about monitoring, being in touch with the business owners and residents, and seeing how it's going, seeing how it's impacting. We plan to do that if and when we extend the hours. And just overall sentiment, visitor customer overwhelmingly negative sentiment. Key concerns were cost and inconvenience, the impact on downtown business, and alternative parking preferences. Resident sentiment was predominantly negative, with a few exceptions. Key concerns was neighborhood spillover, accessibility and fairness, and city transparency. Employee sentiment was very negative, with significant frustration expressed. Key concerns were financial strain, safety and convenience, and to support for free or subsidized parking. Business owner and manager sentiment was largely negative, with a few mixed results. Key concerns were economic impact, customer experience, and there was a few suggestions for improvement. And the others who identified themselves as either contractors, performers, art studios, and similar, was mostly negative. Logistical challenges regarding unloading equipment was brought up, and economic and community impact was also brought up. There were some positive sentiments, just a few of them. One was increased turnover. Some respondents believe that extending parking meter hours could increase the turnover, making it easier for new visitors to find parking. They argued that this could benefit, this could be beneficial for businesses by improving parking availability, revenue for public projects. Like I said before, the revenue would stay within Park Tucson, and encouraging alternative transportation. So a few individuals saw the positive benefits to the environment for this. So overall, less than 5% of positive comments were received. Negative comments, over 95%. So overwhelmingly sentiment was negative with a few positive responses. This data suggests strong community opposition to extend the hours, primarily out of concern for local business and the financial and logistical impact to downtown. And a few positive comments were the parking turnover and revenue, but were not as widely supported. And this is what the survey looked like. So about 3,000 entries here. If you need additional versions of this to read it easier, let me know. But all the comments were recorded by our software. I do want to share quickly some research that was conducted regarding other cities. So in San Francisco, they conducted a pilot program in 2011 to 2013, which adjusted parking meter rates and hours based on demand to maintain optimal occupancy levels. A study evaluating this initiative found that it did achieve its goal of maintaining 60 to 80% occupancy, reducing the time drivers spent searching for parking by 50%. And while the study primarily focused on parking efficiency and driver behavior, it did not provide direct evidence of the program's impact on local businesses. In 23, San Francisco proposed extending the hours to 10 p.m., including Sundays. The Board of Supervisors unanimously voted to delay the implementation pending an economic impact study to assess the potential effects on businesses. So this decision underscored that city's recognition and need for evidence before proceeding with policy changes. In Seattle in 2011, they extended the parking meter hours into the evening. Analysis indicated that gross receipts for downtown restaurants increased by 5.4% following the change. And this suggested that extending meter hours may have contributed to higher customer turnover and increased patronage for dining establishments. And Park Tucson is willing to conduct an analysis after extending the hours to see where gross revenue receipts change in downtown or in the affected areas after implementation. And in Buffalo, New York, they extended parking meter hours to 10 p.m. on weekdays and doubled parking fees into December of 18. There was significant opposition from residents and business owners who argued that the increased fees would deter people from visiting the city and negatively affected local businesses. A petition garnered 25,000 signatures. Despite the backlash, city officials defended the changes, stating they were intended to ensure higher turnover for street parking. So overall, the evidence of on the impact of extending enforcement hours on businesses is mixed and very context dependent. While some cities like Seattle observe positive economic indicators, others like Buffalo face significant opposition from the community. Direct evidence of negative impact is limited. And San Francisco's cautious approach involved an impact study before implementation. So overall, the effects of extending parking meter hours on businesses appear to vary. So I just wanted to show that. And based on all the evidence provided, Park Tucson continues with its recommendation to extend the parking meter hours, coupled with a couple options that I wanted to put out to the commission for its consideration. Number one, the impacts on employee parking. And once again, I would, Park Tucson would reach out to businesses to educate and provide help with signing up for employee parking. This, I think, would be a benefit to employees in order to understand the other parking options available and to business owners. We'd vow to work with the business owners to find solutions. We would also try to find opportunities with private or other parking lot operators to link with businesses and to promote that in order to find additional parking options that might be closer to the businesses impacted. Regarding business impacts, Park Tucson is dedicated to continuing the dialogue, monitoring the situation, and reporting results back to the commission to see what those impacts are and how it could be adjusted. The other options that the Park Tucson Commission could consider, instead of going to 8 p.m., as you recall, we had other options presented several months ago. One of those included 7 p.m. So if we feel, if the commission feels that going to 8 p.m. Is too impactful to businesses based on the feedback, a consideration for 7 p.m. Would address the occupancy issue. 5 to 7 p.m., we're definitely at 100%. Around 8 o'clock is when we see those occupancy levels start to drop down. So extending the hours to 7 p.m. would accomplish our goals in order to increase turnover between 5 and 7 p.m. And then the other option to consider is also delaying the implementation of this to the summertime. We know that June might be a better time to do this to avoid additional impacts with the increased activity during the spring. So with that, we staff continues to suggest the extension of the meter hours, looking to the Park Tucson Commission to provide direction to the commission based on this information. And I'll take any questions, comments.
Hey, Tom, it's Glenn. We all have an uphill climb here. You know, if the response comes back at 1.2 out of 5, you're not going to get it to 2.5 to even get to a C on this. So what's your overall feeling about the deal with the negativity about this?
Thank you for bringing that up, Glenn. I feel that it's always going to be negative. I feel like no matter when we implement this, there will always be negative feedback. So I don't think that can be avoided. I think it was expected. So it does not surprise me that there was negative feedback. And based on the amount of outreach effort that we've conducted, we feel that it's the right time to extend the hours.
Graham.
Thanks, Jill. Yeah, Tom, I echo what Glenn said. Definitely a heavy lift. Careful if you ask people for their opinions, they're liable to give them to you. And so I think the survey uncovered a couple of things. There's an inherent conflict between the business owners and their desire for patronage and their stewardship of their employees and allowing access to employee parking. And it seems that the results of this survey really bring to light the inherent conflict between those two things. And I would acknowledge for both Jill and Kathy the note Jill sent out a month or so ago after the tragic death of the woman down by Armory Park. So we know this is a very real issue. So if we break those two things apart, and some of the commentary and feedback suggests an initiative that is strictly focused on working with employers to provide subsidized or low-cost proximate parking for their employees. The fact that's already being done but not fully utilized is the way to start that out. The idea that having it be free enhances the vibrancy of downtown, I don't think if you're having a $60 dinner and a $40 show that your $4 parking thing is what's preventing you from doing any of that. The research wouldn't show it. So just to kind of backtrack a little bit, when we started this conversation, it was my understanding that the city manager's office and the council had directed Park Tucson to figure out how to do this and implement it. I didn't think it was a choice. Like, if you went back to council study session with this feedback, they're not going to say, oops, sorry, we were wrong about that. Let's decide or figure out something else. Am I correct in that assessment, or do you think that would be an outcome of sharing this data with them?
Right. So taking any information back to the mayor and council, I think that would result in additional discussion. I'm not sure what the outcome of that would be, except that they would defer to the Department of Transportation director to make a decision. And the research that we're showing is that this is a good thing to increase parking turnover for the efficient use of the curb. It's what a smart city should do. I think that it would be heard, and there would be encouragement to work with businesses for employee incentivized parking, and that's something we would definitely work to continue doing. But I think the direction, you know, it's about outreach, and like you said, we gathered people's opinions. They shared it with us, but at the end of the day, we still have an occupancy issue to solve, and this is the way to do it according to the curb study. So I think that it would still go ahead with the recommendation.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I think the argument that it should be free to enhance business, we've got coming down the tracks at us as a municipality, the reconciling of free transit in the next 3 years, and it could potentially bankrupt the city. So anytime we look at offering services in the public domain at no charge as a community service, we just need to understand what the long-term impacts of that are going to be. And we have a great example of that right in front of us with the free transit initiative and what that potentially is going to do to the city's financial outlook. So congrats, I guess, on doing such an exhaustive and extensive study. And again, I'm not surprised that was the feedback. Thanks.
Thank you, Graham. Richard?
Yeah, that was a lot of work that you just did, Thomas, and your staff. I appreciate it. That it's overwhelmingly negative also doesn't surprise me. It seems like there's a fundamental misunderstanding on the part of the public regarding the economics of publicly provided parking. And I don't know that you're going to change that. And people are so angry about getting tickets, and you explain to them that the state takes all the money and they just think you're lying to them. It's almost like you just put up a big sign that says, hey, Park Tucson is a pinata. Here's a bat. Go for it. I don't know how you're going to, as others have said, how you're going to change that perception. I'll say something else. For me, if someone offers me a survey, I do it because I either like it, the thing that is being surveyed, or I hate it. I never do a considered in-between thing, and I have to watch myself with that so that I don't just use the survey as a way to be angry. And I think you just, and I'm in the middle of reading through all those comments. Thank you for making that format for me that I could actually read. It's incredible. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Richard. I believe Dale is up next, and then Zach.
As I find my mic and turn it on. You know, I can't add a lot that hasn't been already said here, but I'll kind of pick my comments back. I think that if we could institute it in some partial way to see let people see how it actually works. It might help. I'm not sure it will. At this point, you're risking a really highly negative public response going ahead. I think it's the thing that needs to be done. I'm not sure how we convince people to do that. The reality is, and just as Graham was talking about, you know, I've sat on the public transit committee for several years, and you know, the reality is that that's where the supplementary resources are going, and saying that you're going to come up with some other form of incentive is going to be very difficult to do. I would just caution going forward cautiously. The 7 o'clock thing might be the best way to start it. I don't know. But it would at least give some reflection that what was originally proposed had been modified. But I'm not feeling real good that this is going to work out well, and I think there's a major risk with the public response. But I think it's also the right thing to do. So it puts me in kind of a middle place. So we talked about working with the businesses about the incentives for the available other parking for employees. I think that's something we talked about at the subcommittee, budget subcommittee, and I think it's a very important thing to do if we go ahead. So with that said, I want to hear what everybody else has to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Dale. Zach?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thank you, Tom. I guess I'm wondering, you know, what the plan is to assess whether this achieves the main goal of increased parking turnover, and then at what point do we assess that, and then who is going to do that assessment? Will it be Park Tucson staff, or will it be kind of an independent person going out and doing these car counts? And then I guess the other thing is, if, you know, we don't really have power, if it's a mayor and council decision to have you all move forward with us, you know, are you looking to the commission? I'm a little confused about that. So those are my two points.
Thank you, Zach. Regarding question number one, Park Tucson would conduct car counts for a couple months after this goes into effect in order to assess if the turnover was achieved. We'd have to look at the time of year to do that. Of course, there has to be an education process with warnings only. First, let the new enforcement hours permeate through everybody's knowledge there, and we would conduct car counts similar to what we did last go around to see if there was improvement. That would be conducted by Park Tucson. And regarding the second question, the decision isn't made by Mayor Council. It's made by the Director of Transportation, who has expressed that his decisions, he wants to base those on the Park Tucson Commission's recommendations. So he really looks to the Park Tucson Commission to guide the decisions, especially regarding this. So he's looking at the results of this and making a decision based on that.
Thanks, Tom. I don't know. I feel like there should maybe be just some type of like pilot to assess it rather than, you know, implementing it. I just with the feedback that's overwhelmingly negative, and I agree with everyone else, I think that's what was expected. But then also, you know, why do a public survey? So I don't know. If anything, you know, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and maybe not do Saturdays. But then again, I don't know if that would help, you know, achieve that ultimate goal of parking turnover in those days and times where it's most needed. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Zach. Dale, do you have, is your hand still up or up again?
No, it was a mistake. I forgot to take okay. it down.
Oh, not a worry. Does anybody else? I have a couple questions, if I may. So I'm confused about, I haven't talked to any business owners that are in support of this. So I'm kind of curious what business owners are interested or feeling like they don't have enough curb turnover. I've said this at the subcommittee meeting, and you know, I'm all for exploring, you know, employee options, parking options, but unless the infrastructure is in place for people to walk safely many, many blocks at all hours of the day and night, it's not helpful. It's just not. Maybe more so for daytime employees, but if you think about, this is an entertainment district, and, you know, I asked Kathy, I mean, the Rialto and 191 Tool, they can have like over 100 people working in one night, and that's one business. And then, so my question is about, I don't know any business owners that are for this. And then my comment is about safe passage. And, I feel like it's important to, like, if the majority of the people that responded to the survey are customers and they aren't for this, I feel like that's something to listen to as a business owner. You know, I hear my customers say they won't come if they just won't. But I, you know, then I hear, I forget, I think Graham said, you know, if you're coming down and you're going to, you know, pay $60 for dinner and $40 for a show, sure, $5 is no big deal to park. But somebody coming to meet their friends for one drink or a snack at happy hour, that $5 does make a difference. And there being everywhere else in town, ample free parking, you know, I mean, I know that we have the inventory, but we don't have the infrastructure for people to walk safely. I mean, I don't want to walk at 2 a.m. from 4th Avenue to Pennington. Does anybody on this commission want to do that? Honestly, like it's not safe. So those are my comments, and this is a bummer, the whole thing. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Does anybody else have anything?
This is Janine. Isn't the problem that we don't have enough on-street parking? And so one of the reasons why we were, I think, considering doing this is for greater parking turnover. So if people are wanting to have more parking accessibility, my understanding was that this was a way to increase parking accessibility. I mean, I understand, yes, so it's not free, you have to pay for it. But if it's free, but there is no availability, then that parking doesn't do any good anyway. And then employees still have to walk too far, and they have to walk in unsafe areas. And so I don't know. I just, maybe I'm misunderstanding the kind of purpose of this. That's all.
Thank you. Jim and then Kathy.
I just have a couple of maybe observational comments. I don't know. This isn't necessarily advocating one way or the other, but I think, Tom, on the weekends and evenings, the garages are like a flat rate. You know, varying like between, I don't know, $4 and $8 or something like that. I almost wonder if, one, like a subsidy to this doesn't work everywhere, right? Because I think about like Main Gate or even 4th Ave, like it, but for downtown, maybe the business owners get X number of subsidized permits. And I know that by default, you don't subsidize, but the city does it. They even subsidize their own employees parking with a monthly stipend. I think it could be done. It's just mayor and council would have to talk about it. But then you get some of that off street and there's an option. It's not just go figure it out. Also, I suspect that like I make this decision as a customer on the evening and weekend, like rather I'm going to circle the block a couple times rather than go pay $6 for a 30 minute stop to go have a drink or whatever it is. Right. I don't want to play a flat rate for 12 hours when I'm stopping for an hour or less kind of thing. So maybe some glance at that piece. But also I would just say that if employee parking is the one of the bigger hurdles for the commission, maybe that's one of the contingencies, you know, you say we're in favor, but we would like X, Y, and Z to happen. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Jim. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning. Well, obviously this topic is pretty raw for me. Just so you know, we had a memorial for our staff member last week, and we had 500 people through the Rialto from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. mourning the loss of this young woman, Stacy. And just for those of you that don't know, she was killed by a hit-and-run driver on the weekend of Halloween, before Halloween, during Nightmare on Congress Street, when this should have been a joyful time, an incredibly busy time for our downtown area, for people enjoying themselves. And she left work a little after midnight. She went over to Brick Box to have a beer after her shift, and then walked down, South 4th Avenue, 2.5 blocks to where her truck was parked on 18th, I believe it was. Maybe it was 13th, I'm sorry. And it was around the corner, and she was literally rolled over. It blew, rolled over, left. And the media was a little harsh. They said things like, well, she was wearing all black. Well, that's when you're in theater, that's your uniform, is all black. And the lighting there is obviously low lighting. We have low lighting restrictions because our beautiful stars and skies. It doesn't really help pedestrians moving. So maybe that's something to consider. In regards to the survey, a couple things. My employees cannot afford, only my executive employees can afford a monthly garage pass in El Centro. So I would say there are, and we help some of those. We do a half and half for different employees, different levels and how often they park. A couple of our employees who don't come as often, we just ask them to turn in their receipts and we'll reimburse them so that they can park at work in the garage. And so for those of you that don't know, the Rialto's offices are above Hi-Fi. Our theater, obviously, you know where that is. And then our green room and our stage area is at 211 East Broadway. In regards to this survey and in regards to all the comments, again, my employees can't afford to park in the garages unless I give them some assistance, which is very expensive. And those employees that this is their second job that they come to at night. So my head of security, Anita, a wonderful woman, she works for a law firm during the day. She is a paralegal for a lawyer in town. She loves her day job. And then she comes and she's head of security. She does not come to work until 6 p.m. and does not go home until about midnight. And same thing, she shows up in her heels and her outfit. She puts on her dress slacks. And then at midnight to 2 a.m, she is walking to her car somewhere in the downtown area. So the one thing that I will say, and again, please forgive my emotions on all of this, is a little soon for me to be having this discussion, is then I drive around downtown and I know we say that we have occupancy, but there is a giant lot. And I just had a meeting with Scott Steitler last week. There's the giant lot behind, let's say, 211 East Broadway that has been sitting empty since that hotel that was there that was demolished in the 80s, maybe 90s. I don't know, Jill, you might know better than I. And again, you know, you hear the song, you know, we paved paradise and put up a parking lot. But I got to tell you, somebody needs to find out who the owners of that lot are, lease it as parking. You know, I just feel that there isn't enough parking. There's not enough spaces. Centro is packed on the weekends. And I know that Pennington might be a little less packed. The last time I tried to park in Pennington, I certainly had issues. I had a choice of paying. I don't know. I downloaded the app, put my license in, the whole thing, which is separate than the ParkWise app. Anyway, I had trouble with it and ended up parking at a meter praying that nobody would ticket me. So I feel that I think this was a lot of work. I congratulate you on the work. I think this was important. However, I think we need support from the city because I think that we're not. I think we need to solve some problems before we put something into implementation. And I agree. I can't remember. I'm sorry. Who said it? That maybe Richard, that I feel like we're about to be the pinata. And unless we show that we are doing everything we can, not just a survey, but talking to transportation, talking to the city, making things safe, trying to see if there's any lots that are available that can be purchased by the city and turned into public parking. Like, you know, we have the parking lot at 191 Tool. Jeff lets us rent 4 spaces for buses and vans and things like that. And the rest, I believe, is public parking, paid public parking. I don't see easy or safe occupancy in the area. And it's definitely too expensive for staff. So I'm sorry. I think that's a lot of stuff. Maybe Jill, you have some other thoughts on this, but I think again, right now it's too soon for me to think creatively, but I feel like we have to do advocacy before we make any changes and show the public that we've done advocacy on their behalf before we've implemented anything into place that is going to charge them. If we're going to charge them, let's show them why and how it will help them and help the public in ways that this survey isn't really expressing. Other than, you know, I don't know. That's what I've got. I'm sorry.
I think that's super smart, Kathy. Thank you. And something I didn't think about. I really appreciate that. Zach?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I agree with everything that Kathy is saying as far as more advocacy, but also just more marketing of, you know, how to park and, you know, what are the actual, I still see people paying for the meters after 5 p.m. And, you know, it makes me feel good to tell them, hey, it's actually free after 5. So I think there's people that don't even know how to park still. And then even just marketing to them that, you know, parking in a garage is the safest option. And then after a certain amount of time, it's probably more economical to, depending if you're parking during the day. But I think we're putting the cart before the horse and just implementing this and then seeing how it works afterward. I wouldn't support this. I don't feel good supporting it.
Thank you, Zach. Y'all, I think like this is obviously super important and it needs more thought and discussion. We've got some more on the agenda, so I feel like we should maybe press forward and continue this at the next meeting. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments?
I pulled my hand back up legitimately this time.
Thanks, Dale.
As a practical matter, I'm pretty much like Kathy, you know, as a former owner operator of a restaurant who had plenty of desert for people to park in, so we didn't have these problems. As a practical matter, yes, I understand the employee questions and the low paid employee questions, and it directly affects the amount of personnel you can get. And the parking is is a major expenditure for a fairly low paid employee who's working part time. And I'm not comfortable moving this forward as it is. I think it is ultimately what needs to be done. But I think we're also at a loggerhead. I don't really see a lot of other, we can advocate to the city, but it's going to be more shifting the blame because there's not going to be money to do anything. Buying lots, et cetera, if you get the right thing, get the right price, it's great. But there, most people who are looking at that property, that piece of property you were talking about, Kathy, has been there for years. And there's been a lot of talk about developing, and nobody's really been willing to move ahead with it. So as a practical matter, I think it needs a little more time. I know Tom would like to move ahead ASAP, but I think it's putting Parkwise out to be the pinata, and I totally agree with that. So I think we need to give it some more time and a little more thought, and I make a motion to table this to a future meeting.
Thank you, Dale. Do we have a second to that motion, Graham?
No, my question was for Tom. The agenda didn't indicate we were going to call for a vote on this today, so that's not, we were reviewing the feedback today and taking action in the future. Is that a correct assessment, Thomas?
Yes, I'll take whatever the commission guides us to do. It didn't specifically state that there was to be a vote, but any topic action can be taken at any time. I know previously the commission approved going out to the public with the 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Proposal and gathering feedback, and that's what we're doing is coming back to the commission with that feedback and looking for any guidance. Park Tucson does believe that this will help drive the behavior of parking in the right direction to solve the occupancy issues. And we hear all of the and appreciate all of the options and guidance provided. I can come back to the commission at the next meeting with some answers to some of the requests and questions and ask for a vote at that time if the commission would like that.
Great. Thanks for the clarification. In that case, I will second Dale's motion to table it till next meeting.
Thank you, Graham. Is there any discussion? And Zach Yenser has his hand up too.
Thanks, Jill. Tom answered my question as he was responding to Graham, so I took my hand down. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So is there any discussion on this motion? Okay, so this to be continued, right?
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
Does everyone agree that we table this to a later date?
Aye.
All in favor, say aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
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 Okay. So, and there's no opposition or anyone abstaining? All right. Motion passes to table. Andy has his hand up, and then we'll, after that, move on to the next agenda item. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Jill. Thank you. And for those of you who don't know me, I think I know most everyone on the call, but I'm Nicodemus. I'm the Deputy Director of the Department of Transportation over the Park Tucson area. And I just wanted to ask that if there's anything we can provide to facilitate that conversation next, like information we can gather to help the conversation related to any of the topics you've discussed today, let us know so we can, you know, have that conversation be as fruitful as possible. You can let us know in the meeting or following up with an email to Tom or whatever. So, and if there's particular data points you think would be helpful for this decision-making process, please, you know, share them with us so we can try and get them together. That's all I have.
Thank you very much, Andy. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, good work. We're now going to move on to item number 8. section 2260. Our good buddy.
Frying pan fire.
Tom?
Sorry about that. I was muted there.
That's okay.
Thank you, everybody. Reviewing Tucson City Parking Code regarding 20-260, stopping, standing, and parking is prohibited between the curb and sidewalk or in an unimproved pedestrian area impeding continuous pedestrian use. We obtained the draft revision that was presented about 2 years ago, I understand, if not a little bit longer, and I just have this up for everyone's review. So currently the code states that it shall be unlawful to stop, stand, or park a vehicle, whether posted or not, in the area between the curb and a sidewalk or in an unimproved pedestrian area such that it impedes continuous pedestrian use. Impeding continuous pedestrian use is determined when the stopping, standing, or parking of the vehicle leaves less than 4 foot wide unimproved pedestrian area, provided unless the area is posted with no parking signs. It shall be unlawful to stop, stand, or park a vehicle in an unimproved pedestrian area adjacent to roadways less than or equal to 26 feet wide. The proposed revision injects that within neighborhoods participating in the Park Tucson Neighborhood Parking Program, it shall be unlawful to stop, stand, or park a vehicle, whether posted or not, in that area between the curb and a sidewalk or in an unimproved pedestrian area. And in all other areas of the city, excluding the neighborhoods in the Park Tucson Neighborhood Parking Program, it shall be unlawful to stop, stand, or vehicle. And that continues with the rest of the code. So the entire version would essentially state that within the neighborhoods participating in the neighborhood parking program, it shall be unlawful to stop, stand, or park a vehicle in that area. So that's the draft that was last proposed. This has not made it to mayor and council. I do not believe as of last meeting there was any political will to move forward with this, but staff will take any recommendations or guidance from the commission on whether to attempt to move this forward, and I'll take any comments or suggestions.
Thank you, Tom. Dale?
Yes, my question is are there documented, you know, when we're talking about adding some verbiage to this to specifically deal with the neighborhood parking permit programs, is there been people saying that the ordinance doesn't apply to them, to that scenario, or has there been incidents or something that says that there needs to be a change in language? I'm not sure I understand the problem here.
Sure. Yes, there has been some comments from certain neighborhoods within the parking program. West University is one of them, stating that there is an issue with vehicles blocking pedestrian access, and it is causing an issue. Certain neighborhoods have brought this up. We do, Park Tucson does cite for this throughout the city, and the West University neighborhood, amongst some other commenters, stated that they would like this to definitely apply to the neighborhood parking program areas. JR, if you have any other input about how often we're citing or if there's been any issues, please let us know. But I do know that West University has expressed an interest in this revision.
Yeah, we get quite a few complaints still for this. And part of the issue is prior to 2013, we used to enforce it quite often because the code was written differently at that point. In 2013, the code was changed to the way it's written now, and it's really tied our hands in the way we can enforce it. So a lot of the complaints that we're getting are from, you know, people that have lived in the neighborhoods for a while, knowing that we were enforcing it one way, and now we don't. So we do get quite a few complaints, mainly from Westview, Sam Hughes, and Rincon Heights. But, you know, doing it getting the code changed back to the way it was is going to make it a lot easier for us to enforce it.
Thank you.
Can I follow up on that? And I'm still, okay. The code basically says, what is the problems that you're having? Is it that you just can't meet the standard as written in this code with a lot of the parking spaces? Or am I understanding right that that's the issue? Is that when you have the 5-foot rule and or is it that people just don't think it applies, that there is any regulation? So I guess my question is what is the complication that's caused you to not be able to enforce it as often?
So the code used to be written that you could not park between the street and the property line in any way. Mm-hmm. The code currently states that you can park between the curb and the property line as long as you're leaving 4 feet of continuous passage. So, you know, when the vehicles are parked in that easement, in that right of way, as long as they're leaving 4 feet of passage, they can park there legally and we cannot enforce that. We will take into account, it does have to be continuous, so we will look at trees, mailboxes, trash cans that are in that right of way, and we will enforce it to that. But a lot of those cars, even though they're leaving 4 feet of passage, a lot of those cars, they will park in the areas that people normally walk. So it looks as if it's blocking that unimproved area. But as long as they're leaving that 4 feet of passage, we have to leave them alone.
Okay. That answers my question. I thank you. You know, I was there when we passed this change, and you know, we had a lot of complaints at that time about some of the neighborhoods were wanting this kind of change and some weren't. So, and you know, I'm kind of torn because I don't like to see ordinances that are selective by neighborhood. If we make it all neighborhoods, I would be interested, all the neighborhoods that have parking permit programs, that would be fine. I would be comfortable with that. But I think I have a question about, okay, what kind of response are we going to get from the other neighborhoods when we go to change that? And so I think that's the question, and I think we need some input on that before we move ahead. And obviously the council hasn't been ready to jump on top of this, despite the fact that there's people who have a lot of background in the city who can push this. So what I would suggest is that we actually look at putting out something that we're considering this, and we've had this request, we're considering this, and we would like input from the other, from all the neighborhoods that would be affected. Is there a way we can proceed with that, Tom?
Thank you, Dale. We'd have to look into that to see if we could reach out to all the neighborhoods. This citywide outreach, we've done it before. We can definitely do that again. But let me do some research on how we could effectively get out to the neighborhoods and whether that approach would be focused, whether on just the Park Tucson neighborhood programs or citywide, and what that approach would be. But if you don't mind, let me look into that.
Let me clarify. I was not advocating that you come to my neighborhood and ask this neighborhood association the question. I'm specifically saying a survey of those parking program, neighborhood parking programs, not just the three that are asking for change. Okay, you see what I'm saying?
Yes, understood.
I mean, I don't think there, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of issue in my neighborhood. I mean, we've got sidewalks and curbs, and you know, but the difference, the area between the sidewalk and the curb is about 18 inches wide. You're not going to put your car in that without putting it on the sidewalk. So we don't have that issue. And I'm not worried about us. I'm worried about the other residential parking permit programs. Okay?
Understood.
Thank you, Dale. Richard?
So there has been outreach regarding this with the RPP neighborhoods, all of them. It was conducted by Donovan, who unfortunately is no longer with us. And also, I think the biggest thing is there's no political will to change this. It's not going to get on a study session. It's never going to happen. So we're not a legislative body. Mayor and council is. And until that changes, if it changes, this is a dead issue.
Thank you, Richard. Do we know if Jim Block is still pursuing this for West University?
Yes, he is.
Okay, thank you, Jeffrey. And your hand's up, so please go.
Well, exactly what Richard was going to say. The neighborhoods with CCRC, Donovan has gone through this. Now Tom has gone through this. He has done all the outreach. There's no, the mayor and council keep putting it back to us as the pinata.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any comments on this issue?
I'll make an additional comment. Hearing what Richard and Jet have said, as long as the other homeowners associations have been informed and the council's not interested in it, I think we need to, I don't want to say kill it because we're not a legislative body, but I don't think it's something we should recommend.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Richard?
I'll point out that this was recommended by Park Tucson unanimously several years ago. But again, it can't make it to a study session, so there's no point in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do we need to take any action on this? Are we, Thomas?
I'm not asking for any action at this time.
Okay, great. Then we can, thanks everyone, and let's move along to the financial statements.
Thank you very much. I'll be presenting the financial statements today. Trudy's unable to join us. Stand by. I'm just going to bring them up. Okay, looking at the Park Tucson financial statements as of October 31st for the first 4 months of the fiscal year. Looking at our operating revenue, for off-street programs, garages, and lots, total off-street through the first 4 months is up 4% or $41,000. So we're at $1.18 million for off-street revenue right now. Looking at the on-street program, that includes meters, reserved parking fees. That revenue totals $375,000 so far through October. So down $36,000 or 9% compared to this time last year. On-street permit programs, that's resident permits and visitor passes, student commuter permits, up 10% or $24,000 this year. There was an increase in student and commuter permits prices, so that has a little bit to do with it, but we sold out of those passes and continue on the about the same clip as we were last year for the residential permits, or just a little bit higher. Citation revenue, an increase of 33% or $56,000 to for this year. Other income, We are flat compared to last year. That makes sense. It's a very, it's kind of a fixed rate that where we have our lease and rental income. Operating expenses. So looking at the total between administration and operations, a little bit higher this year, $52,000 higher, or 4% up. So $1.2 million in our operating expenses compared to $1.18. Other expenses up 15%. That includes administrative fee to the general fund and principal expenses. So overall, a fund balance of $98,000 this year. Looking at budget to actual, versus the budget, we're down 3%. So just about 60,000% under the budget projections for revenue. Operating expenses were 22% down compared to what our budget forecast was. So $1.35 million on our operating expenses thus far. And looking at off-street meters on-street fines and fees, we right now $2 million. That's an increase of 84%. I'm sorry, $84,000 for the for that revenue. Non-operating revenue that's insignificant, but total revenue up $26,000 compared to the first 4 months of last fiscal year. Off-street is encompassing 58% of our total revenue, followed by meters, on-street permits, and fines and fees. I'll take any questions about the October financial report.
Thank you, Tom. Richard?
This isn't specifically about this financial report, but what I'm curious about is sometime, could we get a figure on what the garages cost per year for paying them off, maintenance, the whole bit per garage? Is that something you have a figure with that you could tease out relatively easily?
Yes. Yeah, I work with Trudy on that. And you're talking about debt service?
Debt service, I mean, and one of your biggest costs is security.
Right.
Just all of it. Just the ball of wax.
Got it. Yes, we will do that. We'll present for the next financial report an outline of the garage costs per year.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yep.
Thank you so much. All right, so we can move on to the subcommittee reports.
Okay, finance and capital needs are first. We had a meeting on Thursday. We talked about several items in the financial statements, nothing of too significant comment. I think we will leave it at that, as considering the late hour. And unless somebody else in the committee has a comment.
I'm good.
Okay, back Glenn and
Jim. Yep. I'm good.
Okay. Very good. We're all good. Move on.
Sorry, I couldn't unmute. Okay, on to, is it business district next? Yep, business district, then neighborhood, then marketing.
Yeah, I'll be really quick with as well, because a lot of what Tom presented today is what we talked about. We met on November 8th. Tom's administrator's report updated us, staffing levels, on-street food trucks, and policy. And he was proactive in reaching out to a downtown business owner to let them know that there was food truck parking available for them, with no response from that business owner. And then we reviewed, most of our meeting, we reviewed the proposed on-street meter enforcement hours feedback. And then unless our committee has anything to add, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. Okay, neighborhood. Did we meet? I don't remember.
We did.
Okay, thank you.
I have this interesting thing that is an AI version of what happened in the meeting, but I'd have to log in to see it. But it just appeared right after the meeting. Tom, you talked about the update on the parking service agent staffing levels, and I think you already did that in this meeting, did you not?
Yes.
So we don't need to talk about that. 20-260 has been talked about again. Mansfield, could you talk about that, the parking plan they've come up with?
Sure, yeah. Mansfield Middle School, they're working with DTM on making a one-way street in the alley adjacent to their parking garage. I'm sorry, parking lot, to effectively manage the flow of traffic, to bring some of the traffic out of the neighborhood and route it adjacent to their parking lot. So I'm going to reach out to my peers to see when that's going to be in effect. I don't think it's been executed yet, but Mansfield has worked with DTM on getting that done.
I don't think really had much more than that. And again, we're getting near the end of our time here anyway. Is there anybody on the committee that thinks there's something that I'm leaving out that needs to be talked about? Okay, that's it for me.
Thank you so much, Richard. Marketing and then future agenda items. Did marketing meet?
Yes. Hi. Sorry, Jill. We did meet. In our next meeting, we will elect a chair. We still don't have a chair. We confirmed a meeting schedule for every other month and established business outreach as our primary objective for the marketing committee. And Tom, I think I asked the question during that meeting and you confirmed that Park Tucson doesn't have a budget to market outside of the channels available to them through the normal course of city business, correct? Correct. We can dedicate some of the some of our funds to marketing within Park Tucson. So we do have some room and some allocations that we have our eyes on. I know we discussed that business card with a QR code for a new landing page for information, and we feel that we could afford the cost of creating and distributing those business cards that were brought up. And additional marketing costs as well. But we just have to be careful and watch the budget closely. It would be an unplanned expenditure, but we feel that the payoff would suit going forward with that. And what Tom is talking about is something as simple as a drink coaster or a cocktail napkin that we make available to all downtown or parking district businesses that has a QR code that takes people to the Park Tucson page and educates them about parking options while they're in the moment there. We figured engagement would be higher at that point. That's it for marketing committee report.
Thank you, Graham. Okay, does anybody have any future agenda items?
I put the extended meter hours on the list.
Yeah. Also, so in December, we meet the last Tuesday, right? So that's New Year's Eve day. Does anybody care?
Probably, okay. We'll probably have limited participation if that's the date that it falls on, so.
Yeah, so I'm wondering,
it's actually the 24th. Both dates are not ideal.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was the last Tuesday.
Technically, it's the fourth Tuesday.
Okay, so do we want to meet on maybe the 17th? Do we want to push till January? Does anybody have any suggestions?
If some of the work we're asking Tom and his crew to do, I don't think it gets turned around by the 17th. So if it doesn't cause anybody an extreme amount of heartburn, let's take it up in January at our regularly scheduled meeting. Is there some instance in the definition of the commission that doesn't allow us to suspend the December meeting?
Not that I'm aware of.
Right, I agree with Jill. Yeah, we could suspend a meeting.
And we have done so in the past.
Yeah, does anybody object to that?
I don't think you're going to get any objection.
Okay. Well, then I guess we will see each other in January. And I wish everyone happy holidays and a safe new year and all that.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.